If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, welcome in to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR. I'm Nate Geary. You know, I don't really know if I even have an opening monologue for you before we get to phone calls, but I guess I'll try since that's what you guys probably listen for, right? Just for me to get angry and, you know, do that whole thing. I don't really have the energy to get angry tonight. It's more heartbreaking than anything else. For being so close, it still feels tremendously far away. And, it's tough. Tough way to end the season. But such a familiar ending. And I think, you know, watching last week and sort of in the back of my mind fearing, it's like, man, did they get their bounce a week too early? You know, did the Mark Andrews drop maybe exhaust the only breaks the Bills were going to get ever? I mean, it's the first break, the first bounce to ever go the Bills' way, and it just felt like tonight anything that could go against the Bills went against the Bills. Calls, spots, drops, blitzes. You know, didn't make enough plays in this game. That's really kind of what these games come down to is, you know, you can't beat yourself. That crossing route to Curtis Samuel early in the fourth quarter, you know, he might still be running free right now, you know. And as much as you love Josh Allen, there was a couple of plays in this game that I think he'd want back. And, you know, your playmakers I don't think made enough plays in this game. You know, Dalton Kincaid, two big drops in this game. Yeah, just heartbreaking, no doubt. I guess we'll kick it to the phones and hear from you guys at 803-0550. And getting connected with our fans is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. And Daryl in St. Catharines will kick us off this evening. Good evening, Daryl.
Oh, I'm heartbroken. Literally heartbroken. I just have a question. I don't understand why the NFL is not – could Buffalo have asked for a spot of the ball on the third down? Because I know it was third and inches. But even, like, the fourth down, why were they not – like, why don't the officials spot the ball anymore and they bring out the chains? Because obviously I watched a replay on YouTube. Josh Allen crosses the line, and they still don't spot the ball. I don't understand why they're not – they're marking the ball like they used to do, like – last year, a couple years ago. I just understand that was obvious first down, and you know, whatever the referees made the call, but heartbreaking. But yeah, that was the first down.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it was a first down. I'm not sure a measurement was going to do a lot. I agree with you. It looked like a first down, looked like he hit the line. The thing about that play or the uniqueness of that play is it was on a line. So they, you know, based on where they marked it short of the line, and the, you know, the thing I think, thanks for the call, Daryl. The frustrating part for me, you know, in this game is this isn't exclusive to the Chiefs or for the Chiefs, but like what's the point of having replay if you can't get the obvious ones right? It's that play where he's clearly on the line. You spot it on the line, and it's a first down. It's very simple. And that single play changed the entire dynamic of the football game. The Bills were en route to taking at least a one score, an 8-point lead, potentially a 9-point, a two-possession lead if they get the 2-point conversion, which I absolutely would have gone for in that situation. And then, you know, the play earlier in the game where Worthy goes up and the ball clearly hits the ground, did not have possession, and yet, you know, here we are. It's unfortunate. But again, you know, the NFL is the only league in professional sports where the referees can have such a dynamic role in the outcomes of games, and they've got these checks and balances in place, and yet those checks and balances can't seem to get the obvious ones correct. And it's unfortunate that it happened in a game against a team in a franchise that is, you know, kind of being talked about as a team that the league is, you know, leaning into and wants to win. I don't know. Thanks for the call, Daryl. Let's go to Jordan in Lancaster. Jordan, what's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to I want to talk about Bean and the drafting and McDermott, because all these guys on this defense were handpicked. Like Rousseau, Oliver, Milano, Elam's a first-round pick. Kincaid's not on defense. He's a first-round pick, and none of these guys can come up in these big games. And it's the same story every single year. Like, when do we start putting blame on Bean and McDermott? And, you know, I'm frustrated.
Yeah, me too, man. I'll tell you this, Jordan. They made it to another AFC Championship game. They're winning 13 games a season, and they're having a tough time getting over the hill. And some people in some franchises, that's enough to lose your job. You know, I don't want to see either of those guys. I think Bean's the best executive this city has had in either sports franchise ever. You know, Sean McDermott, I think, you know, has largely failed in these moments. I don't really look at McDermott and say, man, he was outcoached in this game. I thought it was a really good game that came down to one play. They made more plays than the Bills did. I mean, it's kind of as simple as that. But yeah, I mean, their defense didn't perform tonight. I mean, losing Christian Benford on the first possession of the game or whatever it was certainly did not help. Kyer Elam is not an NFL player. That hurts. I mean, having a first-round draft pick that is not an NFL player, that hurts. It just does. So, yeah, thanks for the call. Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Hey, Nate. How are we doing?
Good, man.
First of all, I want to say, Nate, over the years, it's been awesome to see you grow at GR. You've been awesome to listen to, man. So
thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Every game, and thank you. Yeah, yeah. I just want to make a couple points. You know, in looking back in these games, we can always talk about the what-ifs, and we should have did this, should have did that. But during the game, I really wasn't the biggest fan of some of our coaching decisions. You know, we had 3 second-and-1s that we decided to run with Cook. We ended up getting first downs. I don't know why on those plays we didn't take some shots. You know, it was very conservative in my opion. And I feel like we got outcoached. You know, it was a 3rd and 10 at the end of the game, and we threw a screen to Cooper. It was like the same play last week with Kincaid. And then 4th and 5, Allen is running around with his head cut off. They're blitzing us. They're sending us their best play on defense. They were prepared for the moment, and we weren't prepared. Again, you know, when you talk about coaching and you look back at some of the mistakes over the years, 13 seconds, too many men on the field, the obvious ones, this time was just the X's and O's. I didn't like a lot of the decisions, and I feel like it came back to haunt them. They weren't prepared. The moment felt just a little bit too big. I don't know. It's 4th and 5, and the play that has got us as far as we've gotten is Allen rolling to the right and running around making magic happen. That's how we got as far as we did this season. He's been unbelievable for us, making something out of nothing, rolling to the right. How many times has he done that in his career? So what do the Chiefs do? They blitz on the right side, right at him, totally catching him off guard. And when you think about it, that is the most obvious thing a defense would have done.
I don't know about that, Nick. Listen.
But a Hail Mary to Kincaid 30 yards down the field. But let me say this. What happened when the Chiefs had the ball at the end of the game? 3rd and 5, and they threw it to some guy. I don't know. I couldn't hear, but Roma's like first play of the year for that receiver, or first catch of the year. That guy got a first down with ease. Andy Reid was prepared for that moment, and we weren't. That's the difference. It comes down to coaching, the little plays just like that. They got that first down easily against us to seal the game. Where was our play?
Yeah. No, listen, Nick, it's frustrating. There's no doubt. I appreciate the call, man. They came out a little flat, and Josh was definitely a little amped up to start this game, going, not scoring on their first drive, going, I think they went 3 and out. I can't remember exactly. I know they punted on their first drive. I think it'll be easy to look at coaching. It'll be easy to look at plays here and there, but let's just call it what it is. I mean, they were in a one score game with 2 minutes left and they didn't make enough plays to win the game. I mean, you can say it's coaching. They were down 21-10 to be in it at the end. I know it's hard in hindsight after a game where you feel like you got your heart broken to try to find positives. I'm not asking you to find positives. I think tonight will be a lot about who exactly you place blame on. And listen, I think there's a lot of things in this game. But at the end of the day, they just did not make enough plays. And, the blitz by Spags, that is not an obvious, by the way. It's not an obvious play that they're going to call. I mean, they were showing no blitz. They had two high safeties on the play. So, at the snap, when you have you've got the offensive line shifting right, Josh is thinking he's getting pressure from his left. Shakir's wide open on that play, but the problem is they blitzed. They called the perfect defense for that play. And Spagnuolo is a Hall of Famer. He's going to have 5 Super Bowls when it's all said and done. He's just the best defensive coordinator of all time, and dialed up a play that was a damn good one. And yet, Josh Allen puts the ball in the hands of his receiver, who is a first-round pick this team has traded up for, and we have 2 different offensive coordinators that can't really carve out a role for him that is meaningful. And it wasn't just that. There was another drop in this game. Just 2 bad drops in a season that is going to be as forgettable as any season I can remember for a Bills pass catcher. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Eric, who's been waiting patiently. Eric, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Eric.
Hey, Nate. How are you?
I'm well.
50-year Bills fan, and it's getting harder and harder.
No doubt.
frustrating. But when you're in a game like this and you know it's going to – you got to play as close to perfect as possible sometimes,
right,
to beat the Chiefs. So points are critical. And these analytics, you like to play traditional scoring – until you really have to do something extra. And if we play this simply, kick the extra point, we would have been up 24-21. And it just changes the way things play out a little bit. When you're not chasing those points, and then you're on a weird number, and the caller earlier tonight had said something about, actually, at that point, the score should have been 31-31. And you just feel like, why is it so important to go for 2? Because the Chiefs commit a penalty. We just kicked the extra point. I was happy with 21-17 because I'm thinking, okay, now if they kick a field goal, now we're still 7 behind. And you like to keep those numbers there. And I don't understand why. And it's not. I love McDermott. I really do. But if there is a flaw, it's those kind of things.
Yeah, you know what? Thanks for the call, Eric. I appreciate it. I thought they should have gone for 2 before the penalty, to be honest. Like, when you're facing the Chiefs, you need to give yourself every advantage. I am not of the mind, I look back and say that going for 2 lost you the game. Like, if they go for two and they get it, they put the Chiefs in a really difficult spot to try to come back. You know? Like, I don't know. I have no problem with the decisions to go for two. I don't. Not at all. Not against this team. Thanks for the call, man, though. I appreciate it. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man.
I was listening to Mike and the Bulldog earlier, but, you know, they were saying, I felt really good, man, the last 3 minutes with Allen and the ball. I felt really good. You know, Mike was saying, what was the play that really was, like, why we lost? And I would say that fourth down where we just couldn't get the first down. I mean, I think what the game was tied late and we were driving, that was kind of the drive, right? That was the play, and we just couldn't pull off that first down. And outside of that, I mean, I want to know what your thoughts are. I was going to ask Bulldog and Chubb about it, but what do you think about Bishop and Elam? I mean, Elam was getting abused all day. And then the lack of D-line pressure. I mean, we put in so many assets towards that, and there was just nothing. And it's been a tune all season. They just have not gotten anything there. I just want to know what you guys, what you think about that.
Yeah, listen, they didn't get enough from their secondary. Losing Christian Benford early in this game, I mean, hurt. He's their, I think at this point, their most important defensive back. And yeah, Bishop put in a tough spot, but, you know, I think I was thinking they were getting more from Bishop this year than they did. The tough part is you look at Bishop and then I look at a guy like Cam Kitchens who gets drafted by the Rams and is a day one starter and fantastic. And, you know, I mean, again, I think a lot of this is hindsight. And we're going to do a lot of hindsight tonight because that's what you do when you lose. Yeah, so 803-0550. Thanks for the call. The number's call. We'll try to rip through some more calls so we can open up some phone lines. A reminder that tomorrow, if you're into that sort of thing, it's playoff Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon, Shope and Bulldog at 3. They'll have Eric Wood with them at 4, and it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Timeout. Other side, more of your phone calls on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR. All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. This is WGR. Let's go back to the phones, I guess. Get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. All right, who's kicking us off? Let's go to Dane in Southern California. Dane, good evening.
Good evening, Nate. You know, I think about this game much like I think about Al Pacino's speech in Any Given Sunday. You know, life and football are a game of inches, and we didn't win the game of inches today. You know, Chiefs made more plays than us, and instead of looking to, you know, place the blame on anybody on the Bills, you know, at what point are we going to realize after losing four times in 5 years to this team in the playoffs that they have the better coach? That's probably the only team in the NFL that has a better quarterback than us. They have a better defense. I would say they have a better roster. They clearly have a better defensive coordinator. They're just the 90s Bulls, and we're the Sonics. You know, we don't have Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, and Scottie Pippen. You know, we got Sean Kemp, and we got Gary Payton. And this is always going to be the case, likely, until we have a better roster than them. So you just got to tip your hat to them almost in a Pedro Martinez fashion and just say, the Chiefs are our daddy in the interim, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to get over them in the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Dane. Yeah, I got a whole lot to add to that. That was good. Listen, I mean, you know, if you guys need me to console you, I'm happy to do it. If you want to just get your thoughts across, you could do that too. You know, whatever you guys want to do. Let's go to Danny in Buffalo. Danny, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Nate, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much to you and your producer for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Oh, my goodness. I have actually a zero educational take on this game right now because I am so fueled up by what I just witnessed. I cannot actually fathom that. Most of the Bulldog, most of your educated callers, watching this all go down, I don't know what the take is. But watching that game was one of the most heartbreaking things I've seen in a very long time. I don't know why we lost or how we lost. Watching 17, what 17 did and what he had done all season long was one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen. I love watching him this season. That first drive, Nate, how did you feel about that first drive?
First drive of the game for the Bills?
100%.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was his two worst throws of the season, Nate. It was absolutely the
yeah. He was jacked up. Like you could tell, and it wasn't even to me necessarily just those two throws, but it was just uncharacteristic of a season that he put together this year. Like some of the chucks down the field, and yeah, just it didn't look like him to start the game.
Later, when he fumbles the snap that's coming into him, is the same thing. It was so uncharacteristic in that first couple drives that was really hard to watch. That sucks.
And it put them in the hole that they got in. But I mean, credit. They were down 21-10. I mean, they absolutely could have folded up shop, and they just kept swinging. It was a heavyweight bout. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, again, like how you and I are having this conversation, there's going to be a handful of plays in a game that's decided by 3 points that you can look back to and say, man, if you just made this play, or man, if you just made this play, we'll probably all harp on, you know, the Kincaid drop, like I'm sure Ravens fans will harp on the Mark Andrews drop, right? And at the end of the day, it's easy to harp on those plays because they happened most recently in the game. But you just go back. I mean, you're talking about a couple plays in the first series. I'm with you. I mean, like those maybe hurt more than, you know, the drop to Kincaid at the end.
But that's why I 100% agree, and both things are true, right?
So yeah, Josh 100%.
Allen is the only reason that we got to where we were in that position to beat the Ravens, to be in that game for the fourth time to go see the Chiefs again because of 17. And he had an absolute MVP season. But that first drive was horrendous. Those were the worst two throws I've seen him throw all season. And then that fumble of the thing, again, both things are true. It's like he brought us back in that second half and brought it back again. And to me, Nate, I just think it's so fun to watch this guy play.
It is. You know, you kind of take the ups with the downs. Thanks, Danny. I appreciate it, man. It's like, you know, yeah, it's tough, right? You just, to me, the thing that, well, I'll kind of continue to hammer home, that it is sort of just that, like, when it comes down to it, it just does not seem like they've been able to find other players to step up in these situations, you know, and it just all always seems to come down on Josh, and you know, it sucks. It just would be nice. And I think the biggest difference between the Bills and the Chiefs is where they both have incredible quarterbacks, but they have players that step up in these games. They have somebody else that makes a play, you know, like I just feel like if that's Noah Gray, like if it's Noah Gray and Patrick Mahomes throwing that end of that game, like he's making that catch. Travis Kelce's making that catch. I don't know, just put a Chiefs jersey on whoever was down the field and Patrick Mahomes throwing it, and they were going to make the play. And that's, I think, the difference ultimately. Patrick in Las Vegas, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Patrick.
Hey.
Or good morning, I guess I can say now. No, you're welcome.
Well, no, not where I'm at.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're in Vegas. It's still the evening for you.
3 hours behind. I was a young adult during the Super Bowl losses, so you should have a pretty good idea of how old I am now.
Still a very young man, it sounds like.
This is worse than that. I've had plenty of conversations about those Super Bowl teams over the years, and invariably I get to the point where I like to spring this on them. You know why the Bills lost 4 Super Bowls in a row? Because in 3 of them, the other team was clearly better. And in the 4th, well, the best team doesn't always win. And I look at these 4 playoff losses to the Chiefs, and it's this huge gulf that existed when Dallas
there is not a big gap
around twice.
That's right.
No,
it's not a big gap.
There isn't. And that's what makes this worse. We might as well be the frickin' Raiders, okay? But because the Chiefs are 4-0 against us. We can't. I'm not even into discussing why we lost this game or what we can do to get better. The fact is that the regular season success. I mean, are we really supposed to believe that Andy Reid is coaching to lose in the regular season? Are we really supposed to believe that there's this magic elixir that the Chiefs have? Are they dabbling in black magic to where they just always win these games?
You start to wonder. No, it's thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate you, buddy. I don't know. It becomes so difficult to comprehend and find words and appropriately place blame, right? But at the end of the day, I agree. The talent gap is not significant. But listen, I mean, they are facing a team that's, you know, en route to probably their third straight Super Bowl, seven straight AFC championship games. And, we went through the Brady era, and unfortunately, at no point during the Brady era was there even close to having a competitive team in here in Buffalo. Now they've, you know, Brady's gone. They've got this, you know, Lamborghini at quarterback, and now they've got to deal with another guy who is probably just as great, maybe greater, in Patrick Mahomes. So let's go to Tony on his cell phone. Tony, you're on the Overtime Show. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. I haven't talked to you in a while, bud. Let me ask you a question.
Shoot.
The night before the Cardinals game opening day, what did you have our overall record be in? And I have a conversation with you.
You know, I don't know, maybe 10 wins, 11 wins at the, I think maybe the ceiling.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I had them at 11-6, 10-7, getting in a low seed wild card, maybe getting the division, figured a horse race between the Jets and the Dolphins. I was surprised how we walked so easily into the division this year. This team overachieved, right? Because I expected them to look like garbage in the beginning, get better as the year went on, and compete for a playoff spot at the end. They overachieved. That is a mark of good coaching. I don't care what any of you say out there about that, really. Okay? Our general manager steals Amari Cooper for the equivalent to a ham sub, okay? And, you know, even though he made an impact, did he give us a couple more wins over that 11? Well, obviously, right? This team grew, and that's a mark of good coaching. We have a phenomenal general manager. They work in concert with one another. We have a ton of cap space coming up. We have extra draft picks. They're smart. They're not dumb. We need 3 or 4 pieces to the puzzle, and Super Bowl 60 will be ours. I truly believe that. And they got to keep this team together, though. They got to, you know what, at cornerback, we got a problem now with Christopher Bedford, because we know Elam, Rasul Douglas has lost a step in the season.
Yeah,
so, he did. We got to repair the back end. But they need, like, you know, hey, Myles Garrett, is that a reality? Von Miller, maybe you need to retire, man. I love you, but or be the worst lineman, take a pay cut because something, you know, he's not the same. All right, and listen, don't get excited. Think about that. We overachieved. Okay, so don't be ungrateful for what we got. That's all I'm saying, because we have a hell of a team, and we need a few more pieces to the puzzle that'll put us over the top. And now we displayed with, like, not mediocre talent, but good talent, that we overachieved. There's going to be players that are going to think about wanting to come here and play with this team because we have a good thing going. So please, pump the brakes. Think about it for a second. Okay? Don't be ungrateful for what you have. I'm not trying to be Pollyanna.
No, I
watched them since 81, man.
Yeah, I got you, brother. Well, listen.
So, you know, that's all I'm saying. And have a good night.
Yeah, man, you too. And listen, again, it's tough because you sit in these situations and hindsight's tough, and yeah, it's tough, man. Let's go to grab one more before we take a timeout. Let's go to Mike in Oakville. Mike, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Hey, Nate, thanks for taking my call, but
sure,
I'm a big
buddy.
Fan. Just 3 things, if you could just be a little patient with me. One, I just was wondering why on that first drive it took them, or even in the first half, to go to the run, because they've been so good at it all year, and I just thought it was a little weird. And I think on Bulldog and Mike's show, they were talking about that first drive and the 2 throws. just a little bit odd. I thought it was, it worked so well once they went to it. And KC, I think for the year, was not good at defending the run. That's number one. Number two, I was surprised that Brady didn't have something else in his back pocket other than the tush push. When you're 3-0 on fourth down, you might want to go to something else. I'm not blaming Brady, or I'm not that guy who's going to crack on the coaches and say it was their fault. And then number three is, if you remember last year's divisional loss and even this one, it just, that last drive with 3:33 or whatever it was left, I just thought the Bills looked like they were rushing a little bit. I felt like, run the ball a couple times, eat the clock. Because if you leave them any time, they're going to come back. If it's a minute or more, they're going to come back and score. I just felt like, it just seemed like it was rushing. In November, during the regular season, they did a great job of that post 13 seconds, understanding that, hey, we got to kill the clock. But that last drive tonight, and even last year in the divisional game, it just went, last year it was what, end zone, end digs,
yeah,
end zone, over, right? Like, it's done. Like, it ended so quickly. I mean, tonight it felt like that too, where it just not, again, not blaming Josh or the team. It just felt like it was so quick.
Yeah. Yeah, again, like, and whenever you're on the short end of games like this, I think it's really easy to just to kind of look at a couple of plays here and there, how they started the game offensively, a couple of errant throws from Josh to start the game. They get out to their early 7-0 lead. They're up 21-10. They get the touchdown before the half, but then, miss the two-point conversion. So, yeah, at the end of the day, when you lose by a couple of points, it's I think it's easy in hindsight to try to figure out what exactly it was that went wrong. Not always easy to agree on those things. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a timeout right now, get a couple of breaks in here as we continue chugging on. If you want to give us a shot, you can. 803-0550. This is the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show and WGR.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Let's get back to the phones. Go to Curtis in Niagara Falls, has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Curtis. Thanks for being patient.
No problem. Patient. I'm a Bills fan, man.
That's all you got. That's all you got.
Those statements you made earlier about Elam that made me want to call, you're right. He's not an NFL player. And at the end of his first year, how come Edison wasn't recognized? And you know, like I was telling the screener, I said, like, in that amount of time, they could have signed somebody who could, cover, come in off the bench and play a little bit better than that. Because it was almost as if they was hoping, well, just don't let them cross the goal line. We'll hope for a defensive stand. Because, like I was telling the screener, I'm pretty sure the Chiefs wasn't getting tired of those 10, 11, and 12-yard chunks they was getting at throwing on his side. Yeah. It was like the London game, you know? And, oh, my God, it's just
– Yeah, you know
– putting the game on him.
No, listen, though, neither you nor I are putting the game solely on Kyrie Elam. He didn't make any plays. And, yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from. Like, why not just cut the bait after the first season where you felt like he's just not the guy? It's so hard to do that in the NFL. When you draft a guy in the first round, when you trade up and draft a guy in the first round, it's almost like you basically at the very least get 3 years. It's not quarterback where, you know, every play he's touching the ball and making an impact. But yeah, I mean, part of this conversation too is just how unfortunate it was that, you know, Trey White ends up getting injured the way that he does.
Right.
And you know, they have
right.
to move, because ideally, Curtis, this is Trey White and Christian Benford, and I think you feel fine if that's the case.
Heartbreaking. Trey White, I love Trey White.
Yeah.
That was right. I totally forgot about that.
And listen, like, Curtis, like, you know, you have the Von Miller injury, and that was a big swing for them. And, yeah, you know, yeah. Thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate you. Go Bills. Enjoy the offseason. And, you know.
One other thing.
What you got?
We didn't overachieve. The one caller said no. Because Sal took, before the season, he took our predictions, and I was talking the other day. I said 13-4, see you on Delaware Avenue. No, they were right where they were supposed to be.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Well, I appreciate you, man. Enjoy the rest of your morning, evening. Have fun at work tomorrow. I know I won't. Let's go to Ray and Clarence. Ray, good to hear from you, man. Good evening. Good morning.
I've never called anybody so late at this night. You know, I'm one of those guys that I don't look back and say, you know, if they would have got points here, they would have won. In the moment, I say it the way it is. For instance, I agreed with McDermott, or I say I would have made the same thing going for two. I would have gone for it when we did on four. That's just the way it is, because I'm always looking ahead. What would you do if they scored? Do you go for two? Do you not go for two? But I'm going to tell you, the Chiefs defense played fantastic. I give them the credit more than us. And you know what? After stopping us, I mean, Allen doesn't get stopped more than twice this year, but they stopped him three times in one game.
Yeah.
It's time to go to another play. And the comment that kept coming to my head throughout this game was Allen made a comment, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago about that, you know, they haven't used all of the playbook yet. So I'm like, all right, they're waiting. They're waiting for the right. This was the game. Last week would have been the game. This week was the game to come out with some of the playbook. And the only play I saw that was different was the flip pass on the option to Cook. That's the only play that I saw different at any time. You couldn't do a jet sweep to Samuel. Could you even use Samuel at all this year? I mean, it's like it was by default that he got certain passes and all that. Like, where was the little bit of creativity that we needed just to create, to get them to think a little differently? That's where I had the problem. It's just, you couldn't do a reverse. You couldn't do anything other than sneak it. I mean, it didn't work.
They needed what you're talking about, Ray, is they needed a plan B. And, listen, in fairness, they were 21 of 22 or something going into this game on those plays.
Oh, I agree. They should have done it.
But it just was like kind of one of those things where you just went to the well too many times. They had very clearly figured out what the Bills were doing and defended it well. And the Bills just did not have a plan B, which, is on coaching. Thanks for the call, Ray. I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for hanging out and calling so late. Timeout. We're going to get to the other side. We will take more of your phone calls and reaction after the Bills' 32-29 loss in the AFC Championship game. And this is the Transit on Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show, and I'm Nate Geary. This is WGR. All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show here on WGR. Let's grab some more phone calls. Steve in Virginia has been waiting patiently. Steve, good morning to you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate sure thing.
Hey, I just had comments about the offense and the defense. With the offense, I wish they would have thrown a little more beyond the sticks. It just seems like everything they were trying to do, was – before the first down marker, and we were just barely getting by, and we had to go so many times on fourth down that eventually it cost us. And then with the defense, I'm like, I get it, Taylor Rapp and then Benford got injured, but last year we had injuries too, and it seems like every time we play the Chiefs in the playoffs, the defense is letting up 30 points or more. So it's like, I get it, injuries are part of the NFL. But, something has to give, whether, the Bills have to either draft better players, to make an impact, especially defensive end. But then again, we've spent so many assets on defense. I mean, it's, something has to change.
I don't disagree, Steve. Thanks for the call. I don't think there's a particularly large talent gap between these two teams. Yeah, they've got Chris Jones and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and, probably all three first ballot Hall of Famers. But the Bills don't have that. But, I don't know. I feel like I can't watch that game and, know that they've won four straight regular season games and seem to fall up short in the playoffs and say, man, these two teams are just wildly more talented than the Bills. I just, I don't buy it. Doesn't pass the eye test for me. All right, timeout. We gotta get caught up on a couple of breaks. We'll get to the other side, take a couple more phone calls, and bury this one and get to the offseason. I appreciate you listening here to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR. All right, welcome back to our final segment here, the Transiton Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. Let's get you a quick eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. Josh Allen, 22 of 34, 237, two scores, passer rating of 104.7. He also added 39 yards on 11 carries. Let's grab a couple more phone calls before we sign off for the night. And we will start with Cole in Buffalo. Cole, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a look at McDermott's performance, and I'm going to give him a 7 out of 10. And I know that's just not good enough to beat Mahomes and Andy Reid. So am I crazy for thinking that the Bills should call up Bill Belichick?
Probably. He's not going to leave the program, he's out on the recruiting trail. He might take an opportunity to coach Josh Allen, but I don't think that a move like that is in the realm. Thanks for the call, Cole. Let's go to James in Buffalo. James, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, morning, whatever time it is.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Just want Hey, how are you? I just wanted to say, who do you think is going to be the MVP? Do you think Josh Allen is going to win or Lamar Jackson?
No, I think it'll be Lamar Jackson.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I just think that the whole team overachieved this year.
Yeah.
The Bills team, they just completely overachieved. They had a great year, but I really do think that the better team won last week. I mean, lost last week. It would have been a much – the Ravens definitely would have beaten the Chiefs. The Chiefs are just a better team than the Bills, and I'll land my plane right there.
Yeah, thanks for the call, James. I appreciate it. Let's go to William in St. Catharines. William, you're on the Overtime Show. Good morning.
Hey, Nate, I just completely disagree with that guy said there. I think the Bills played great all season. I think it's time for McDermott to go, though. I mean, I think the Bills are a completely better team than the Chiefs. I think they played them 7 times. Bills come on top of that game, but unfortunately, that's the way it goes, and we lost the game. We're the better team, but we lost tonight, and I just think it's time for McDermott to go, and I want to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, William. I don't. I mean, obviously they keep hitting their head, but, you know, I think it's important to remember where this franchise was when Sean McDermott took over. Is he a perfect coach? No. There are very few perfect coaches. I think part of the conversation will always have to be, what's your plan to be better than McDermott? And, you know, I mean, look at some of the names that got head coaching, jobs this cycle. Brian Schottenheimer. I mean, Christ. Like, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, like, you can say, I think it's easy to say, I'm sick of McDermott. It's time to move on. He can't get it done. I think it's much harder to say what your solution is to be better than him. And Mike McCarthy, Robert Saleh? These are guys that, you know, I don't know. Let's grab one more phone call. Let's go to Matt in Albany. Matt, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Matt. Matt, you there?
I'm here.
What you got, man?
Where do we go from here is where I'm at. Like, what do we do? Because, you know, we have one of the, we'll say, top 3 quarterbacks in the league,
mm-hmm.
and here we are. I'm lost, man. Like, what do we do? What do we do? We keep rolling out with Josh Allen, great offense, maybe a questionable offense sometimes. What do we do? Like, do we roll back with the whole same team next year and then get smoked by whoever in the playoffs? What do we do?
Well, I mean, Matt, they haven't been smoked at all, really. I mean, the only game they got smoked was the first AFC Championship game back in 2020. These have all been very close games that come down to a play or two, and, you know, they just haven't made that extra play. And I think a little bit of it is they need someone else other than Josh Allen. I don't know that I'm looking at a specific coach or a specific player, but, you know, the guy they drafted in the first round 2 years ago dropped a humongously important play that, you know.
Makes me sick.
Yeah, it sucks.
It makes me sick, man.
I'm with you. All you can do is kind of laugh, right? I mean, what else are you going to do?
You're right, man. That's where I'm at. Like, what do you do? Yo, hey, I'm 43 years old. I grew up, like, rooting for the Bills. What else am I supposed to do? Do I cry? Do I laugh? What do you do, man?
You tuck it between your legs, take a sip, wait till July, you know?
You're right, man. It sucks. I love Josh Allen. I've grown, like, McDermott's grown on me. Like, I've been on the king of the McDermott haters for a long time. And I thought this year, like, I thought he grew on me.
It felt like the year. And what I'll say, Matt.
It did. It felt like the year. You're right. Like, no, there's no blame to put on any. Like, we can't just put blame on somebody in particular. It just sucks, man.
And I want to say it'll be hard for me next year or the year after, whenever they inevitably get back in the same position, for me to say, man, it feels like the year, because it just feels like I'm running out of years. But thanks for the call, Matt. I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for listening. Big shout out to you guys. I really love this show, getting to do this show every week after Bills games, getting an opportunity to, most of you calling and you know, engaging and adding to this program. I do appreciate it. You know, I know some of you probably hate me. Some of you tolerate me. Others might love me. Either way, I do appreciate the support for everybody that tunes into this show. And, you know, obviously pregame show as well. This is it's fun. I get to do this and get to talk about a team that, you know, I mean, I grew up down the street in Hamburg and, you know, having an opportunity to cover them and do this every week truly is a joy, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So for me, Nate Geary, for all of those that have contributed to the show throughout the year and to all the listeners and callers out there, I appreciate you greatly. You know, cheers to another awesome season. I know it didn't end the way we all wanted, but, you know, where else would you rather be? So I appreciate it again. Good evening, good night, and we'll see you next season, Bills fans.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2-pound strawberries or 18-ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.